And now the gospel lesson from John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my fingers in the marks of the nails, and my hand in the side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you must have life, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
In today's worship guide, I have included a photo of Father Michael Lapsley, who was a freedom fighter against apartheid in South Africa in the 1970s and 80s. A native New Zealander, Father Lapsley was ejected from South Africa by the apartheid regime and took refuge in neighboring Zimbabwe. In 1990, he suffered the devastating loss of both his hands and sight in one eye from a letter bomb someone within the South African regime mailed with his name attached. After his long recovery and the ultimate fall of apartheid, Father Lapsley returned to South Africa, where he founded the Institute for the Healing of Memories and dedicated his life to helping victims heal from the physical, emotional, and spiritual wounds of war, abuse, and other forms of trauma. In his 2012 memoir, Redeeming the Past, My Journey from Freedom Fighter to Healer, Father Lapsley wrote these very beautiful words. "My visible brokenness creates a bond with others whose brokenness is often less visible than mine, but just as real. The truth is that pain unites human beings. In my work as a healer, many people say that they can trust me because I know pain. In the end, though, What matters most is whether we are able to transform pain into a life-giving force. Jesus has come near the disciples this morning. He has known pain. He has suffered the physical, emotional, and spiritual wounds as an early victim in what historians call the Jewish-Roman Wars. He has been traumatized. He has been abused. He has been wounded. And in the words of the old gospel hymn, you can see the marks where the nails had been. Yet, in today's gospel, his wounds have become signs no longer of crucifixion and death, but of true life and resurrection. The scars have become symbols of healing. The pain just days ago, so agonizing and brutal, has now been transformed into a life-giving force. And Jesus has become what Henry Nouwen once called a wounded healer. And seeing Jesus's visible wounds now healed, Jesus's disciples also begin to see the possibility of the healing of their own invisible wounds as well. They begin to see themselves as wounded heroes, wounded healers also. This is an Easter story. And Easter is about healing. It is about wholeness. It is about the transformation of our pain and suffering and the traumas of our life and how they can all be turned into signs of hope, resurrection, and our own inner liberation. The disciples were shut inside a locked door, the Bible says. Trauma and fear had them hiding inside of the house, and all hope seemed lost. Yet when Jesus came and stood among them and showed him his hands and his side, the places of his piercing and his pain, a transformation took place in their hearts. And they were suddenly liberated from their fears, and they too were made whole through the witness of his wounds. They had all been through something, and it was tough. The last days and years had been really tough. But Jesus was still alive with scars, which meant that they too could dare to go on living with their own scars also. And their pain and their wounded and their wounds could become a life-giving and soul-giving force. Many of you know that on Friday we celebrated my father's memorial service back in Lubbock. It was a wonderful celebration of life, and I think we did Dad proud. Sometimes someone will ask me if my father was also a pastor like me. Sheepishly, I tell them, no, he wasn't much of a churchman. However, as the owner of a liquor store, he did deal in spirits. Though at the service on Friday, I told the congregation that Dad did once come up with an idea of a church plant. A big liquor store was coming into town in the shopping center right around the corner of Dad's store, and it threatened to undo his place. But he said, Ryan, there's a law on the books in Lubbock that says that they can't open a liquor store within 300 feet of a church. Would you be willing to put in a church plant in that same shopping center? And I'd be willing to be a deacon. More seriously, at the service I shared that Dad not only sold alcohol, but he also struggled with it too. And for years, for many, many years, that was a source of great pain for him, suffering, and also a source of pain and suffering and shame for me as well. Yet as I have grown up and matured and have come to realize the words Father Lapsley are right. It is pain that unites us as human beings. There is no shame in our pain. And if we can get beyond the shame, then we can see that our pain can become a truly transformative and life-giving force and a sign of hope and resilience, life and resurrection, even in the midst of death. That is what the cross has become. For decades in art, the cross was too great a shame, too much a taboo to be depicted. But think of what it has become. A truly life-giving force. A sign of hope. The ultimate symbol of death has now become the ultimate sign of resurrection. And not only the cross of Jesus, but also the wounds of Jesus as well, and not only Jesus' wounds, but our wounds also. Think about your wounds. Those two. There is no shame in our woundedness. And through the sharing of our woundedness, we find that we are all united in the same wounded humanity. As Father Lapsley wrote in the beginning pages of his memoir, words that resonate deeply with me today and words I think Dad would have found true. He said, nobody escapes being wounded. We are all wounded people. whether physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. The main question is not how can I hide my wounds so I don't have to be embarrassed by them, but how can we put our woundedness into the service of others? And when our wounds cease to be a source of shame and become a source of healing, we have become wounded healers. The Bible says that by His stripes we are healed. The stripes are sometimes misunderstood as the punishment God inflicted on Jesus in our stead, but I think substitutionary penal atonement is actually bad theology. Christ's marks are not wounds inflicted by an angry and wrathful God. They are the wounds of the world. The physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual wounds we all have, in which Christ, in unity with our humanity, also Himself had to have as well. Christ too was wounded. And He stood among His disciples to show them that the wounds can be healed. And He stood among them to show them that both He and they could become wounded healers. I said earlier that this is an Easter story and that Easter is about healing. I pray that by the marks where the nails were driven in, by the scar in the side where He was pierced, we too can discover healing this Easter, both His and also ours. And I pray that we can know the full meaning, the words from the old hymn we sang last Sunday, which said, "Crown Him the Lord of love. Behold His hands and side. Rich wounds, now visible from above, in beauty glorified. Deep wounds, now scars, which tell a tale of a whole lot of pain, now transformed into a life-giving force." Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and together then, all of God's people do say,